group of programs. So, John, Steve, let's talk Fab Lab.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Scott.
All right. Thanks. First of all, thanks for having us here. I'm really looking forward to exploring and letting the community know all the cool things we do in Fab Lab. We'll go into our backgrounds, but right now let me just tell you where Fab Labs come from. I think a lot of people aren't aware that we have a facility at IMET Center in Sturtevant, Wisconsin.
The S.C. Johnson IMET Center.
S.C. Johnson IMET Center, right. And Steve's out there, too, so Steve's my partner in crime. We always work on projects together. But it's open to the public. People can come in. You can experience 3D printing, laser engraving, advanced manufacturing, desktop CNC, all these cool things that are now driven by computers and have kind of changed our world and how we make things. And Fab Labs have been around now almost 20 years. Gateway's Fab Labs 10 years old. We celebrated our 10th anniversary this year, had a big party, and we used advanced manufacturing to carve pumpkins. It was a riot. If you didn't get a chance to get out there, we had a really good time. But also, what's really cool about IMET is we're around all these other great programs. So I'm going to let Steve talk a little bit about his program, too. Steve.
Sure. Over at the IMET Center, it's the home of one of the places where we have the MIA school for Gateway Technical College, which includes programs such as our Construction Sciences group of programs, which is our Architectural Structural program, our Civil Engineering Tech Highway, Land Survey, Construction Management, Material Testing, a host of those things. But then we have our Electrical Engineering program, we have Electronics program, we have Mechanical Engineering, Mechanical Design program, Advanced Manufacturing, CNC, just a whole host of different programs that are really functional and benefit from the presence of the Fab Lab. It's a great symbiotic relationship.
And Steve's really undercutting this. These programs are not like you think of in your head. You know, they've evolved so much with computers and programming and interfacing and digital and software. And it's one of the interesting things is we find lots of really cool ways that we can cross over everything we're doing in the Fab Lab with what he's got going on in Civil. And we have really, really fun things happening there. So our idea here is just, you know, let's explore. Let's also make sure that the community is aware of some of the really cool things that are happening out there. You know, not only what Gateway has to offer, but just the community itself in general and how they can interface with us and figure out what's going on. I mean, by the time we come out with this first segment, people will have missed all this really cool stuff over the holidays. We've got ornament workshops. We did the pumpkin carving. And then, Scott, I know you're interested in music, so I want to talk a little bit about how we've been using advanced manufacturing and civil engineering and making guitars. I mean, how cool is that, right? So, Scott, tell us about your first experience. Like, the first time you came was what, last week for a program? What was you were here for Brian's thing?
Yeah, the first time I was in the Fab Lab was a couple weeks ago for Brian Albrecht's retirement party. And I got a chance to walk around and see the Fab Lab. And to be honest with you, I was blown away. And I tell people all the time when I talk to them, for one thing, I had no idea that the program was there or the facilities were there. So for me, I was surprised by all of it. I just couldn't believe how cool it was. And it was all just kind of a learning experience for me. So tell people, where again is this located, and how can the general public become involved in the Fab Lab and the programs out at the IMET Center?
Sure. The Fab Lab is actually located at the S.C. Johnson IMET Center, which is located in Sturtevant, Wisconsin. If you know where the movie theater is on Highway 20, we're just south of the movie theater. Actually, you go to the movie theater, head south on H, look for the water tower, and we actually had to pave around the water tower in order to get parking. And so that is where, if you look for the water tower, that's where the S.C. Johnson IMET Center is. And the Fab Lab itself is made up of what all different type of equipment. We have, what, 30-some 3D printers?
Yeah, we're over 30 printers at this point, most of which are just FDM, which is the kind that melts plastic to plastic. But we also have a computer embroidery machine. We have one printer that'll print the size of a car engine. We've got laser engravers. Right now we have 3 laser engravers we can run. We've got 2 CNC machines. One will do a full 4x8 piece of plywood. So if you're into carpentry or furniture or conventional cabinetry, the possibilities are limitless. And then we also have a lot of soldering and all kinds of different backup things in there. We have a hand scanner. So frequently we can scan parts. We can scan. We normally scan everybody's face and then we misbehave with it, right? Making weird prints or doing, you know, weird things on the laser with it. But story for another day, I suppose. And if you're plugging this into your phone, it's at 2320 Renaissance Boulevard, and Sturtevant's zip code is 53177. The building itself is open from about 7 in the morning till 10 at night, but you can also check availability of the Fab Lab on its website, which is gtc.edu/FabLab.
And so, John, when I was out there keeping with the music theme, I saw you guys making guitars. Like
It's
amazing to me that you guys were doing what you were doing out there. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're making guitars?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of backstory. So I'll try not to bury this in 20 years of history and just tell you about the cool things we've been doing with guitars. But the idea of Fab Labs was we kind of help in education, and we make it interesting so a lot of instructors can come to us for projects. Well, what could have more educational lessons buried in it than building an instrument? So when you're working with a guitar, you're working with all kinds of things. I just held a guitar building workshop, and it was we went over 5 weeks, and some of the kids are still putting their guitars together, but I think of it like making a pizza, right? The first time you try to make a pizza, it's probably not going to be that great. You've got all these things you got to learn, right? Are you going to buy a crust? Are you going to learn how to make it? If you want to learn to make a crust, now you've got to learn about flour and water and oil, and then you got to learn about the sauce, and then you got to learn about the toppings. So to build a guitar is very similar. There are all these lessons that you fold into it. We started as a STEM 101 or STEM guitar building organization. So people from Gateway went to Ohio State and took the class to build guitars. And then you have a set series of kits and you build from those. So what ended up happening was the class never was successful. We were never able to get anyone to sign up for it. It never happened. So I had all this equipment. So we started giving away builds through the foundation. So we'd send it to auction. You could bid on a build kit, and then you would come in. You'd spend hours in the Fab Lab putting these guitars together. So we discovered that it was really great as family builds. So we try to encourage like parents to come in with their kids and build a guitar. But we also started realizing that a lot of the curriculum that we got from Ohio State could be modified. It could be reverse engineered. So since we had CNC machines, and I have a really good CNC background, we learned how to model the bodies, how to model the necks, how to build them ourselves, how to cut them out of scrap that we find or pull out of the garbage. And then we started experimenting even more. We started rebuilding things like the truss rods or how the neck is connected to the body. Can we make it so it's easily adjustable or so that you're not using wood screws so it strips out? And we've even evolved into 3D printing the bodies. There's electronic problems that are involved in it. We can do soldering. We can do Arduino projects for onboard processing. We recently 3D printed a fretboard, and that's really exciting to me because now I can print out something. I can still fit it with fret wire. You're not going to be able to tell the difference when you're looking at this guitar. So we started seeing ways we could connect to other programs, and we could start moving into things. So it started, you know, with a program that was established, but we kind of tweaked it. We got our CNC guys involved in helping us reverse engineer things like the tuning machines or how the bridge is going to sit or how the saddle is going to work. And then we started doing our own carving and our own building of the parts that we had on hand. And we're moving into electronics. Here's a really fun thing, and Scott, I know you're aware of this. We even started moving into Steve's program, of course. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a way to carve a mold on the CNC machine, and we attempted to cast a concrete guitar. And that sounds
crazy. The mold was out of foam.
Yeah, it was pink foam. Sounds kind of crazy. But the idea is, if you're familiar with Ovation, where they just use a fiberglass shell for the soundbox part of the guitar, well, that was the part we tried to attempt. So I'm going to let Steve tell you all the trouble he had working with me on this.
No, and this is where we get at, and this is the crux of why we have the Fab Lab at the iMet Center, is because it gives you the hands-on practical application of a lot of the STEM-related curriculum that we go through, whether it's electrical, where all the electrical components and knowledge can be applied through the electrical components of a guitar. Mechanical, sound waves, all those features are there in the application, because we're not just about education. We're about the application of education and the fusion of application into one educational learning process at the IMET Center. And that's what makes it so cool, because we're like, we don't know, but let's figure it out if we can. And that's where the Fab Lab comes in, because it gives you a contextual feel of what the lessons you're learning about in the classroom. For our thing, and we just started this a couple weeks ago, John was like, can we make this out of concrete? And I'm like, I have no clue, but we're going to try. And so created a foam casting bed, basically, and we poured our first attempt at it. Little philosophical differences with regards to the application of how thick we need to make this.
He's afraid to admit I was right about the thickness.
He's not right, but that's okay. In terms of somebody wanted something that was uber thin, and that was going to be very difficult, but we're going to try to figure it out and to see if we can actually pull this off. But you're seeing an application of knowledge, and that's what's so cool, because whether we succeed or not, you actually learn more from your mistakes than you do from your successes in life.
Yep.
And that's what the Fab Lab's all about. Try it. You have this knowledge from your classes. Go try to do something with it. And that's what makes the Fab Lab so special and an integrated part into all of our curriculum there at the IMET Center.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I think the whole idea of a concrete guitar is definitely unique. What's the weight going to be of that guitar? Do you have any idea?
Well, this is our debate. Philosophical differences. So the way the guitar went down, Steve thought it was not a good idea to have a wall on this guitar that was less than 5/8 of an inch.
No, 3/8, but that's okay.
Oh, 3/8. I thought you said 5/8 was our minimum.
I'd love 5/8, but 3/8 is minimum.
So, of course, in my brain, and again, now this is we want to bring this home to the idea that we're learning about concrete, that this is bigger than just us making a guitar. But I do want, at the end of the day, a guitar. So I don't want to have something that's super heavy. But I'm also saying, well, Steve understands concrete, and he understands it down to the molecule. I don't have a clue. So I'm like, why are we putting the rocks in this? Why are we adding three things from five different bags? Why are we mixing it? In my brain, I'm thinking we are using some sort of a fiberglass additive like you use when you do automotive work, and that we're reinforcing a wall, and we're going to try and make it so it's like a ceramic bowl. And if you pick up a ceramic bowl and strike it with a mallet, you're going to get a crisp, clear tone. And Steve is thinking of it structurally. So what we're trying to do now is reevaluate how concrete works and how we're using it in this application, which inspires a lot of people to think about something as simple as concrete and how it's used in everyday. Like, you're driving down the road, there's a good chance there's concrete under you. You go by a building, and there's been some really famous architecture movements with concrete, right? The Brutalist
Absolutely.
Movements, right?
Yep.
And I've seen some beautiful buildings made out of concrete. So the reality of, is it practical or is it going to work? Well, we're not so much into that as we are, could we actually push this material to its limits? And what are its limits? And we've only started exploring. We've done one cast of two bodies. We haven't played with varying the consistency of the concrete. We Right. haven't played with plastic additives. We haven't played with different reinforcement materials. But I picked up the mandolin body, which didn't work, by the way, and I held it and tapped it, and it has that sound like a ceramic bowl right now. So when we did this, I insisted that Steve let me take three or four foam tests where we made different thickness walls of the concrete, and then we cast them along with the guitar. And we're going to then see, okay, did it work? How thin could we get? How fragile is it? Do cracks develop as it sits out? Now, I didn't know it was concrete. It needs to sit for 3 weeks. So we're done. And I'm like, great, let's string it up and play the guitar. And Steve's like, no, it's got to sit for like 28 days. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You know, and I'd always seen people throwing plastic over concrete and wetting it down. And I understood it. It slows the cure. And Steve was explaining to me there's crystals in it that actually grow for that amount of time. I always thought it was, we used this technique back at Field Museum where we would water our glue and we'd water the wood beforehand, which allows the glue to dry slower and it cures a lot stronger as well. So I assumed that was part of it as well. I had no idea there was chemistry involved in this, and there was all kinds of interesting. And Steve, correct me when I say something incorrect.
No, you're going fine.
but then we apply it to a guitar, and then someone like Scott, like you, walk in and say, oh my God, you're making a guitar. And now we have, and this is an important thing at Fab Lab, is we always approach things cross-platform. We're looking at not necessarily what's the coolest way to make something, But how many different ways can we make something, and where do they connect and where do they overlap? And that provides us with a really strong way for entrepreneurs and engineers to explore their field, and then hobbyists to be able to come in and just do cool stuff.
That's awesome. I love it all. We can't talk music and guitars and all that without talking about Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
So can you guys tell us a little bit about Metallica and their involvement with Gateway and the infamous signed Metallica guitar that we have at Gateway?
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable, right? I think it's mind-boggling to most people when we say Metallica gives us money. And they go, Metallica? You mean the band, Metallica? It's like, yeah, the band, Metallica. So Metallica generated a foundation called All Within My Hands, and about 4 years ago, they took $1 million and gave 10 technical colleges across the country $100,000 each, and then it moves into a matching grant for 2 years where they give money and you match it. We literally put all of that into telecom and CNC boot camps right away. So if you think about it, the next time you queue up Metallica, their first year, they gave almost 70 people in our region jobs.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, how cool is that, right? Now, I looked up All Within My Hands Foundation and found out a lot of the stuff that they're doing with it is food programs. And in my brain, I've been around to the community centers. The Fab Lab goes out everywhere and works with everyone. And usually the kids in the community centers are the ones that are like, hey, did you bring any food? Which kind of tears your heart out. So when I see money dedicated to programs that give school kids food, I think they're some of the most important programs that are out there, because they really level the playing field for a lot of kids at a lot of areas. So Metallica does a lot of that, which I was really impressed with. So we were so excited to have this opportunity, we decided we would allow the classes to design and build their own guitars, you know, based on Metallica, of course. Now, the first semester, we did a lot of help with them, and they came in. We designed a body. Everyone's like, do a flying V, do a flying V. I'm like, no, I'm not doing a flying V, right? you're laughing, Scott, right? So a flying V is very cliche, and I'm like, no, we're going to do something that's more like a Les Paul footprint. I like a smaller body guitar, one that's kind of cool. So we took the Enter Sandman design, which I believe is supposed to be lines of sand on the ground. But to me, it looks like blades turning in space, which I thought is really appropriate for manufacturing. So we designed a body that was similar to a Les Paul footprint, but had kind of those same design elements that they had on that disc cover. And then we carved out the bottom of it. We literally inlaid Metallica across it, and we designed it to send to them as a thank you for thinking of us, for being conscious enough, especially after all the Napster stuff in the 90s,
yeah,
right? Of turning around and giving back to their fans and the community. So we made a guitar. We contacted their foundation. Their foundation representative was at Gateway, and we came and we presented her with the guitar, saying, thank you so much for your involvement with the community, with the money that you're giving to get people jobs now, for this band giving back. Well, they literally took it, showed it to the band. These guys signed it and sent it back to us.
That's so awesome.
So we can display it. And right now that guitar is on display at IMET Center. Scott, you come over. I got the keys to the guitar. We'll bust it out and you can play it.
I saw it, and it is really cool looking. And there was another guitar that was next to it that was a Metallica designed or roughly designed guitar.
Yeah.
Was that done by the students?
So I couldn't put off the Flying V forever, right? Class 2 comes in, and they wanted to, of course, do Flying V. So I said, well, why don't we do the Flying M instead of for Metallica? So we used their stylistic M, and we generated it in a flying V shape. So the
Very
V
cool.
segment is the ends of the M. Center of the guitar is the center. Now, in that case, we didn't think Metallica would want to continue signing guitars every time we did a class with them. So we had the class commemorate it by everyone signed it, and we engraved their the year on it for them, and that's on display next to it.
That is super cool to see. Steve, real quick, when I was over there visiting John not too long ago, I kind of wandered off in the back, and John showed me a little bit of the construction sciences room, or at least what I think is the construction sciences room, the concrete and the pouring of concrete, and I just think that was so cool. I had no idea that anything like that was offered. Can you talk a little bit about that program?
Oh, absolutely. So we're the only school in the tech college system that offers the Wisconsin DOT Highway Technician Certification Program testing for Portland Cement Concrete 1. Which is huge. And so we test, and we have all the equipment out there to go out and do all the testing required for concrete that's placed throughout Wisconsin. And this gives our students a huge leg up because pretty much right now with the way construction is, everyone has an opportunity to go out and work in the field after just two semesters of classes, basically, and be a material tester where you work hard for 10 minutes and then you get to observe what's going on out in the real world. And that ability has allowed our students to figure out what path they're interested in throughout the whole realm of construction sciences. And it's just been huge. And so not only do they earn some good money over the summer, but they find out what area they actually like to go into. And it's been a win-win for a lot of different people from that standpoint. So if you come over and you'll see concrete beams, you'll see concrete cylinders, a big bathtub where we store all of our cylinders to hydrate them for the 28 days that they're required to stay in 100% humidity. And we have a compression testing machine over there that can compress 350,000 pounds of something. So wow. I can crush up to 350,000 pounds, which wow. is awesome.
Yeah, we should think of things to crush.
Yeah, we can pretty much crush anything.
Did you ever see those videos online where they just throw yeah. things in the crusher? I mean, I catch myself watching those
yep,
for like 20 minutes at a time. That's awesome.
Now, Steve is not even really going into it like he really could here, too, because his class is also involved with flying drones. And if you think about it, a lot of construction science now, it's evolved just like engineering's evolved. So it's interesting, fun, cool stuff. These guys are in on Sundays, and he has classes. How many levels of drone flying are there? Two, one?
Two right now.
So you can literally sign up for a class to learn all about flying drones. You practice, you learn about all the regulations behind them. So this is one of the cool things that we're finding as our overlap. Another thing that we're looking at doing, and we knock on wood, we're trying really hard to make it happen. We're going to generate a MudBot or a CNC machine that will extrude concrete. So it'll work like a 3D printer, but instead of plastic, it's going to push concrete out. And we've already got a line on some parts because am I allowed to mention ShopBot? I do some work for ShopBot.
Absolutely.
On the side. They're willing to hook me up with some parts. And then some of our local people like Putzmeyer, they work with concrete all the time and have the type of equipment you use to extrude it out. So there's all kinds of – it's like any field, it's hard for me to describe. What Steve's describing is super cool, and it's you walk in and you see all this fun stuff to smash things. But really, civil engineering has evolved just like anything else is, and it's an amazing career with really cool things happening, which is probably, you know, why we hit it off and we're looking
right,
to do projects
exactly.
all the time.
But it gets back to what we talked about, the foundation. I mean, the whole purpose of the Fab Lab when we created it was the application side of our technology. And that's where the Fab Lab has excelled immensely and gone way beyond our initial dreams in terms of success, in terms of applying what we know to solve problems that we don't know how to solve yet.
Right.
And that's the crux of engineering, is to solve problems. That's what we do as engineers. And the Fab Lab takes that and tries different ways to apply the technology we have to help facilitate that solution.
Yeah, and we have such an incredible reach into all the different things that are happening, which is part of the reason why I think these segments are going to be really exciting. We can connect with anyone in the community, and I'll give you an example, and we'll talk a little bit more about where we come from in a bit, but I have an art degree. I'm not even an engineer. And when I first got to the Fab Lab, I'm like, oh my God, do you guys realize what you've got here and what it's capable of? And every time I feel like I've peaked out, I realize I've barely scratched the surface of what we can do for Gateway and the community and all of the surrounding schools and the kids who are just interested in becoming passionate about things and moving that into a career. When I first started, I immediately called up all my art friends, and I'm like, hey, we got a Fab Lab. Come on over. Let's do art. So we were playing with the laser engraver, you know, doing woodblock prints. We were David Jones, he runs Anchor Graphics, and he's now working with UWM, but he just moved to Kenosha. He was an instructor at Columbia for years and master printmaker at Landfall Press in the 90s back in Chicago. He was coming over and helping us with digital art and bringing printing presses, and we were looking at ways to 3D print drawings and CNC with graphite. So we literally did a show with the Kenosha Museum about 3 years ago in digital art, and we basically highlighted how artists' tools have even changed, and they're coming to the Fab Lab. So, you know, everything from quilting groups to, you know, poets, and we've had Bonk work with us on some stuff. So
now, the other thing is, John doesn't like to mention it too often, but what was your cool profession before you came to us here at Gateway?
So we're going to go there, right?
We are. Right. This is the best part.
All right. So here's some background on me and where I came from. I grew up in Racine, and I went to college locally at Parkside. Parkside even has like three of my pieces of sculpture out there cemented in permanently. I started out in math and engineering, but I quickly found that I couldn't keep up with it. So at the suggestion of a drawing instructor, I shifted into art, and I probably learned more and worked harder in art than I ever did in math and physics. So you had to kind of know a little bit about everything in it. So when I graduated, I immediately moved to Chicago, thinking, you know, Racine holds nothing for me. What's here, right? So when I got to Chicago, I did a lot of freelance stuff. I showed a lot of art, did a lot of different shows, never made it big. But at a certain point in time, a friend connected me with the Field Museum. So I went and applied there, and it was like 1997, I started working for the Field Museum of Natural History. And I was in the exhibitions department. I started out in permanent maintenance, where, you know, I was just kind of cleaning and fixing exhibitions in the permanent. And then I evolved to running the wood shop at the time, which after a couple of years of running that, we turned it into what we call the production shop. So once that happened, I started basically running all the production that was being done at Field Museum for all the different exhibitions. So it was interesting. You know, a show would come and they would need, and this ties back in with engineering and civil, they would need problems solved. And I had a really good welding and cabinetry background, and then I had a background in art. So I was always able to kind of use that lateral thinking and diversify to solve problems. So everything from welding on dinosaurs to CNC carving mummies, it was unbelievable. Steve, where you come from?
Well, no, I'm going to leave it at that, because that's an awesome background in terms of, I mean, dude, you welded on dinosaurs. That's all. I don't know how you can top that one.
It's as much fun as it sounds.
So, but no, this is why we're so fortunate to have John, and we pride him way up here to help run our Fab Lab, because of the background this individual has is amazing. To have somebody that had that depth of exposure down at the Field Museum now in our backyard running and facilitating our Fab Lab is just mind-blowing to me.
Right. Well, let's not undercut the stuff you've been doing with Big Step and the construction.
Oh, no, but we can get that
really
to another date.
Yeah,
and so for me, like, I really want to touch on, I know we're running out of time here, but I'd really like to touch on in future, you know, we talk a lot about the classes and the students and that, but how we're also open to community members, and how do people from the community actually get involved without having to sign up and become a student and take courses? I mean, what is the options for residents to become involved in the programs that you guys offer?
Well, the Fab Lab's open to the public as part of the MIT original charter for Fab Labs. So Fab Labs were required to have a certain amount of open lab hours for the community. But we found that that was just a really good fit for us, because we are already out in the schools and community centers and holding events. So you don't even need to be a Gateway student to come use the Fab Lab. You just have to have curiosity. Now, if you want to get into the programs involved while you're out there, we can show you all the cool things. I can't tell you the amount of people who have just been interested in taking a welding class because they've come out there, and while we're out there, they notice people are out welding on stuff. And that's where someone like Steve can say, if this interests you, here are the classes you should take. And a lot of them are centered around things like CAD drawing.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I can say that I'm one of those people. I mean, I came out there and saw the CNC, whatever you call it. It's like a castle, a kingdom of CNC machines, and I wanted to learn how to operate a CNC machine. So I can definitely see that happening. So, well, thank you guys so much. This was an awesome first show, and I look forward to many more.
Yeah, well, Scott, thank you so much for having us, and thank you for hosting the show. I think we can explore some really cool stuff over the course of the future.
And that's what this show is all about, hopefully, is letting people know if you do have curiosity about something, it's the application of that curiosity is what we're interested in. We can teach you all the mechanisms, all the science, all the procedures that go behind it. But if you have that curiosity, there's a place for you. And it's called the Fab Lab at SC Johnson IMET Center.
Engineering in general.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, you guys. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys being here. And until the next episode.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
All right. See you again.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, we can always find grace in between the music. Join me, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia.